Praise the Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Father. What a precious Lord we serve today. Glory to God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. If you have your Bible, just turn with me to Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7. We have preached part of this message already today. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7. It's a simple statement. By the way, Nahum is ministering in a time when corrective judgments are in the land. Everybody say corrective judgments. That's not God wanting to hurt anybody. It's not God wanting to harm anybody. It's God really wanting to keep people, to bring them back to Him so that He can keep His covenant with them. That's the whole point of chastening. It's corrective stuff. Can you say amen? And the Bible said, if you are chastened of the Lord, if you really belong to God and He's corrective in anywhere in your life. And by the way, if God doesn't ever deal with you correctively, then you do not belong to Him. It doesn't matter what church you belong to, organization you belong to. It doesn't matter what kind of testimony you may have. If you are never corrected, you're not God's child today, according to the Word of God. Amen. For the Bible said he chastens every child of His. He chastens every son that He receives. And if you be without chastisement, you are bastards and not sons. That's pretty plain talk. That's out of the King James. Amen. If you belong to God and you're truly a child of God, amen, then chastening is a part of an expression of His love. Amen. The Bible said that if you love your child, you chasten him betimes. My dad must have loved me a lot. Can you say amen? Because I remember many times growing up. Amen. We're not talking about child beating. We're not talking about someone who knocks their family around. God's chastening is blended with His love for us. And the goal of His chastening is not to hurt us or to harm us. It's to really keep us from being harmed by an enemy that wants to sift us as the wheat. I love the way Jesus put it to Peter. He said, Peter, Satan hath desired to have you. And when he said you have to take it from Peter and put it to all the believers then and all the believers for all time. Because when he said you, it was literally you, all of you. That was the way it connotates in the Greek, all of you. Satan doesn't just want to hurt Peter, make no mistake about it. He wants to hurt you and he wants to hurt me. You know why? Because you have a testimony. Actually, you've been given, all of us. See, it's not just the man standing behind a pulpit, but every child of God has been given, according to the Scripture, the ministry of reconciliation. Isn't that incredible? That means God wants to be reconciled with fallen man, and we can share our faith. We can give our simple testimony and be part of the process of the work of the Holy Spirit to draw people to Jesus for reconciliation. God says, I can't in any way accept you with your sin, but I want to be reconciled to you. And that's why He sent Jesus. And that's why Jesus hung on the cross, because God took the initiative to love fallen man. The Bible literally said we didn't love Him initially, but He loved us and sent His Son, amen, to reconcile us to Himself. That's an incredible statement. You didn't seek Him initially, but He sought you. No man comes unto me except what? Except the Father draws them to me. And Jesus said it, and He does it through what Jesus did at the cross. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up. You know, I'm from a Pentecostal ilk, and when I thought about lifting Jesus up, I thought about those high praises when we would just get into boisterous praise, we're lifting up the Lord. Amen. No, that's not it. If I be lifted up from the earth, He's talking about hanging on the cross. He said, if I die on that cross and give my life on that cross and show the love of God by dying on that cross for fallen man, that message of the cross and Jesus and God loving enough to give His Son and Christ loving enough to give His life, that message is going to be used by the Holy Spirit to penetrate the darkness, to get into that old stony heart and melt it down. Can you say amen? The preaching of the cross is still to them that perish foolishness. But everyone that has received that message, to us who are saved today, the Bible said it is the power of God. I'm going to go on record as saying we don't need a new gospel. We don't need an improved gospel. God is not doing a new thing. Thank you for the heart. You know why He doesn't have to do a new thing? Because He would be imperfect if He had to make improvements on what He began in Christ. Can you say amen? God is not progressive. Jesus Christ is what? The same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Lord God said, I'm the Lord God of Israel, and I change not. Why doesn't he have to change with the culture? Why doesn't he have to change and present himself differently to get people today? Because he's perfect. Amen? God is perfect. This book right here, we don't need a new one. They're trying to edit out. Did you know they're editing? Be careful of the translations. They keep getting further and further from the original. Be very cautious. I may use a paraphrase sometimes. I'm going to say this is a paraphrase. You don't study from this. You don't let this be the last word. Amen. You want to get into the original. We're drifting from the original. Bibles are being printed that want to do away with to be politically correct. God's not interested in being politically correct. He's not running for office. He's God. We don't get to vote. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He's not running for office. He doesn't want to become like the culture to win the culture. He's counterculture. My kingdom's not of this world. If his kingdom was of this world and had this world's value system, Jesus said he would have called, amen, the host of heaven to deliver him from the cross. But he said, my kingdom's not of this world. And I, for one, am glad it's not of this world, because he would have never went to the cross if he had that self-serving attitude that the world thrives on today. Listen to me carefully. Nahum ministered in a time when corrective judgments are in the land. When corrective judgments, we think God is being mean, or God is being harsh, or God is being somehow unfair to us. Let me tell you something. When we disobey and he corrects, it's not God being mean. It's God being good enough to step in and interrupt our activities so that the enemy doesn't absolutely prevail over us. Can you say amen? If the enemy has his way, he's going to sift you as the wheat. And that's what Jesus said to Peter. Peter, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as the wheat. All of you. But I have prayed for all of you. How many know we have a high priest? We have an advocate with the Father. Amen. That Jesus intercedes for us. Praise God. I don't know what I'd do without the prayers of God's people. I treasure and invite intercession. The anointing to preach is not doesn't mean that I have a big red S on my t-shirt. Amen? I am not Superman. I can't hardly do that without telling about Muhammad Ali going to Manila in the Philippines to fight the thriller in Manila. And that 98 pound, and I've told you this before, but the sake of the disc that we're making, this 98 pound Filipino stewardess, amen, is walking through the plane before takeoff, and the buckle your seatbelt sign is on with the little tone, and Muhammad Ali is sitting there with no seatbelt on, and she goes by and says to him, "Buckle up, champ." And he looks back at her and says, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." And she looked back at him and said, "Superman don't need no airplane either." Can you say amen? So the champ buckled up. Amen. He buckled up. Don't mess with them women. We learned it, ain't we? Old school. Amen. You can't have the last word. Forget about it. There are no super saints. Without Christ, listen, not just his death on the cross, but his present day ministry of intercession. I have prayed for you. The reason Satan is not conquering you is not just because you have built your faith and have on your armor so tight that you never need me to step in your behalf. I want you to know something. Amen. This authority of the believer that makes you independent from the grace of God, the love of God, amen, the mercy of God and the help of God is not the correct balance. Can you say amen? Jesus said, your victory down there over the enemy that wants to defeat you is based, number one, upon the fact that when you're in trouble and when you're cast down, I stand up in your behalf. Can you say amen? I pray, amen, and I pray with nail-scarred hands and feet. Can you say amen? I plead my body's scars in your behalf. Amen. Jesus pleads the merits of his own blood in our behalf when we are weak and we are shaken. I'm so glad I got away from the message that tells me I have to stand on my own two feet and not lean on my God. Amen. I'm. You know what Paul said? 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament, if you count Hebrews, little controversy there, but most scholars believe that Paul wrote the book. All right, let's don't even give him Hebrews. 13, 12 of the 27 books of the New Testament, Paul wrote. And Paul said, by the grace of God, I am whatever I am. Talk about Pentecostal experiences. Amen. He said there was a man speaking of himself in humility. He said, whether in the body or out of the body, I can't tell you. Whether God took me physically there or took me out of my body spiritually there, I cannot tell. But such a one was caught up into third heaven. Can you say amen? I saw things, unutterable things. Praise God. Amen. Listen, on the road to Damascus, when he got his call to preach, you know, he didn't just have a feeling in his heart, a drawing in his heart by the Spirit, amen, that needed to be confirmed. Amen. He met Jesus face to face. He said, I saw a light brighter than the noonday sun. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And his call to preach, his conversion and call to preach came all at one time. Hallelujah. He got the whole enchilada in one time. Amen. He was on his way to persecute more Christians, but he saw a light brighter than the noonday sun. Amen. He fell off of his beast and he heard a voice speaking. He said, who art thou, Lord? And the voice spoke to him audibly and said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And he began to tell him about the things that he was going to suffer for his name's sake. He saved him. He consecrated him. He filled him. He was blind from glimpsing the glory. And he had to go to one of those Christians he was going to persecute and tell him that he had become a Christian and humbled himself for a prayer of faith to open eyes that had been literally blinded permanently because he saw the glory of God. Amen. And yet this man said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Can you say amen? Amen? It's by his mercies. And then he said, not that we are sufficient as of anything of ourselves, for our sufficiency is of the Lord. God does not want you to get into a faith walk with him, so-called faith walk, that makes you independent from him or self-sufficient. Can you say amen? Don't ever think that you've... I hear teachings all the time that we build our faith to a level... Listen, I need Christ's intercession. I need your intercession. God designed us to be dependent on him. And when faith works best, it's when it's most dependent. That's when it shines and shows his glory. Paul besought the Lord three times. I heard a preacher refute that the other day. It really bothers me when I hear preachers, amen, trying to teach Paul. I thought the New Testament's supposed to teach us. I didn't think that we had evolved into some spiritual gianthood where we can look down on the apostles. Anybody starts doing that, it's not the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Because the faith that was once delivered to the saints is based on the prophets, the apostles, and Christ being the chief cornerstone. Can you say amen? I don't want anybody telling me I have to stand on my own two feet. I want people teaching me how to lean on the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's leaning on God that's going to give you victory. Amen. Paul said, I besought the Lord three times because this spirit that buffeted me was always seemingly hindering me and there was no answer. And finally God answered him when he sat before him with all of these questions. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength, the real stuff, is perfected in weakness. My strength is perfected in weakness. When you confess your weakness and lean on me, then my strength is made perfect in you. People like to be in control. It's part of the fallen nature of man. We want to control our circumstances. We want to control. And there are people that say that we are little gods, that we are in the divine class. No, he's divine. You're the branch. Don't ever forget that. Can you say amen? And if you're separated from the vine, what happens? Like any other branch. Go cut a branch off of a vine. It withers and it dies. Its total existence and sufficiency is based on that comes up through the vine. Praise God. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Can you say amen? I'm so glad that I understand what it is to abide in him. Amen. Like a branch in a vine, and let his word abide in me. Praise God. I'm so glad for the grace and mercy that flows from God. I'm so glad for the times that people have prayed for me. But I'm even gladder for the times, amen, when people didn't even know how desperately I needed help, and Jesus stood up and prayed for me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. There have been times I've been through things that people didn't know about. Things I couldn't even talk about to people necessarily that they might understand. But Jesus understands. Listen, we don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of what? Our infirmities. But it was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore... Why? What has given us this confidence, this consolation? It's because he's been there. He understands. Praise God. He's not sitting aloof in his heaven. He understands, and he says, oh, you that labor and are heavy laden, come to me. Don't run from me when you're weak. Don't run from me when you have issues and failures. Come to me. Come to me. Hallelujah. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You're going to find something. Amen. In this life struggle down here between the flesh and the spirit, the world and the kingdom and Satan and God. Listen, you're going to find something. You're going to find rest for your soul. Amen. Rest for your soul. I'm so glad. I went through nervous exhaustion for 10 years. Preaching under a heavy anointing. And under that anointing, no one dreamed what I was going through. No one even had compassion, because the anointing puts that S on you for a little while. But believe me, there are no spiritual supermen. No spiritual superwomen. We're here because of grace. We're here because of his intercession. We're here because people prayed us into the kingdom. We're standing today because others are praying for us and with us. God designed us to be dependent on him and interdependent on each other. Say that with me, dependent on him and interdependent on each other. I've never been to California and saw the giant redwoods. Has anybody ever been there, seen the giant redwoods? Have you ever seen them? You've seen, awesome, aren't they? Yeah, I saw one picture, one where a car is driving through one, cut a tunnel in it. Extraordinary thing they tell me about those redwoods. They have stood through storms, earthquakes, fires, winds, all kinds. I mean, they are so many years old, and they've stood the test of time. And they tell me that these huge trees, their roots don't just, their strength is not because their roots grow down so deep individually, but because their roots spread out and they interlock and intertwine with the trees next to them. Do you understand what I'm saying? For this tree to fall, if it was straight down, but its roots are over here interconnected with the other trees. And so now you've got an interconnected system, and that becomes the strength of the redwood. It's interconnected in that grove of redwoods. Incredible. God designed us to be interconnected. The hand doesn't say to the foot, I have no need of thee. Look at those toes. They're so ugly. My fingers so pretty. Can you say amen? I got hand cream on my hand. Nobody wants to smell your toe. Can you say amen? Hand don't say, listen. You can talk to that foot all you want to and put it down. I can go get me a Pepsi anytime. I can grab it just like that. You know, if the foot don't carry you over there, hand is no good at all, is it? Can you say amen? God designed us to be interconnected. I mean, the foot just sits back and takes all that stuff, amen, all that jive talking, and then the foot says, how you going to get to that refrigerator? I should like to know. Can you say amen? And the hand says, I was wrong. Forgive me. Amen. Hallelujah. I do need you after all. Amen. God did not design us to be self-sufficient, to stand as an island. He designed us to depend on Him. Amen. And as you mature in faith and as faith really develops, amen, the more faith develops, the more dependent you become on God. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Running to God is not running from the devil. Can you say amen? Running to God is what you do anytime there's a threat in your life. When my heart is overwhelmed within me, the psalmist said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I thought initially when I read that, he's talking about somebody encouraging him. But he directed that to God Himself. He said, Lord, I want you to help me to look to you. Because when my heart is overwhelmed, there's a danger of discouragement. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For the Lord has been a shelter for me and a refuge from my enemies. Can you say amen? The object of faith is not faith. Faith in your faith is not what God wants to develop. Faith in your God is what He wants to develop. Because faith in your faith means if your faith fails, you have no other option. Faith in your God means God would have to fail for you to not have victory. Can you say amen? I'm going to submit something to you today. There's no one above your faith being shaken. There's no one here that doesn't need Christ's intercession. And there's no one here, and I'm not just talking about this church, I'm talking about the church at large. There's no one in the Church of Jesus Christ at large that doesn't need each other's intercession. God designed us that way. Can you say amen? From day one, He designed us to be dependent on Him and interdependent on one another. When a church starts praying for each other, God does mighty things. God does mighty things. When a church starts humbling themselves before God and looking to Him, He said, call upon me and I'll show you great mighty things that you've never seen and never dreamed that you know not. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Call upon me in the time of trouble and I will deliver you. David said, I cried unto the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. Glory be to God. Everything about faith is totally dependent upon the Lord. It's not a force that develops in us to where we don't really need God because now we can act as God. God doesn't want us acting as Him. In terms of sovereignty and power, He wants us to depend on Him. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a movement today talking about you being a little God. I got news for you. You can't create nothing. Amen. Amen. You can't create a thing. You don't have creative power. One guy said he was sending angels out to bring him money. Then he sends me letters. I thought you ought to fire those angels. You got the power to send angels out to bring you riches and you sending me a letter? I'll send that letter back to you. Return to sender. If I could do my lip that way, I'd pull an Elvis, but I can't do my lip. There's no point. I could never be an impersonator. Just return to sender. Amen? Yes, you can tell angels. I send my angels out to bring me wealth and He sends me the letter. Well, it's either the angels or me. I think it ought to be neither. I don't think we command angels. There's a commander in chief of heaven's armies. His name is Jesus. He's the Lord of hosts. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Angels do serve us, but they do it at His bidding, at His pleasure. Praise God. They encamp around us because He loves us. Praise God. But we don't tell them what to do. Amen. We don't worship Him, but we don't command them. We worship Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's a preacher on television not too long ago, and he I thought he did the ministry proud because he has a church in Van Nuys, California that ministers to about 30,000 people. They don't hold that many, but that's how many people they influence in a week, about 30,000 people. Jack Hayford, and he was on television, and they asked him, said, "What have you learned in all these years of ministry, and God has blessed you, and you spoke at conferences?" He said, "What have you learned? If you could just say something to ministry out there, what have you learned?" He said, "There is a God. And I'm not him." Can you say amen? I thought that was a pretty good lesson. Can you say amen? There is a God. I'm not him. You're not him. In fact, this God said unto us that heaven is my throne, and the earth that you live on, that is my footstool. He's figuratively speaking. He's actually bigger than that. There's no place in the universe. He's omnipresent. You know what that means? There's no place in space where he is not. We're not just talking about on this earth. We're talking about in the universe and beyond. Everybody say, to infinity and beyond. How do I see you've seen Toy Story? Amen. Listen to me. Amen. God is there. That's what David figured out. Said, he's bigger than I thought he was. If I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost part of the sea, God is there. If I make my bed in hell, even there his hand will lift me up, praise God. God is there. Hallelujah. Amen. That's a mighty God, isn't it? I'm so glad he's good. Aren't you glad he's good? Glory be to God. That's what Nahum was trying to tell. This mighty God is in a covenant of love with you. And even when he's correcting you, he's expressing love to you. Amen. And Nahum, which means a consoler. What consolation is there when a nation is under judgment? If it's God's chastening, it's proof he loves them. And if he loves them, there's hope. There can be a revival. We can return to God and he will return to us. Nahum said three things about God in the time of chastening and corrective judgments in the land. The Lord is good. Nahum 1 verse 7, he's a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows them that trust in him. Can you say amen? The word knows in the Hebrew is the word cherish. Amen. You find that same thing in the New Testament, that sentiment about God's love for his covenant people. Amen. He loved the church and gave himself for it. No man ever hated his own body, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it. Can you say amen? I said nourisheth it and cherisheth it. I cherish my body. Listen. I was trying to do some home plumbing. I watched Bob Vila and got the... I can do this. Amen. I tried to do it and the wrench slipped and it hit my finger. And every time those things... And it tore a little piece of flesh off of it. Amen. No one now wants to shake my hand. But anyway, my Band-Aid fell off this morning. But I got that boo-boo on my finger. And I want you to know I took care of that. I grabbed my finger. I run in and put something on it. I babied it. I took care of it. I tell you, no man ever hated his own body, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as Christ the church. And that's why, see, this keeps going. This same God is in operation. Different dispensation, same God. Old and new covenant. Amen. God said, I will keep thee to Israel as the apple of my eye. Apple in the Greek, in the Hebrew rather, means little man. It means the very pupil in the eyeball. Amen. It's a reflex thing that God does. We're not trying to get him to help us. Amen. We're not trying to get him to defend us. Amen. If I get near someone's eye, they immediately try to block that. They flinch. Why? Because this is a vulnerable part of themselves. Can you say amen? This is our God today. Amen. He doesn't sit and decide every day whether or not to help you or intercede for you or not intercede for you. You're the apple of his eye. The New Testament says there's way more to that. You are bone of his bone. Flesh of his flesh. That's why he told Saul while he was persecuting Christians, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? When you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. I'm that intimate. I'm that involved. Hallelujah. I'm part of them and they're part of me. This is a great mystery. The Lord's Prayer is not accurately the Lord's Prayer. Actually, the Lord's Prayer that we commonly call the Lord's Prayer is the question was asked, Lord, teach us to pray. It's our pattern for prayer. The Lord's Prayer before leaving this earth, before he started interceding for us in heaven, was prayed in John 17. And he said, Father, I don't just pray for these only, but all those that are going to believe. That means that prayer is in effect for you and me that have believed on Christ. And he said, Father, here's what I'm asking. He said, you know how you're in me and I'm in you. He said, I want them to be in us in that same spiritual relationship. And he said, and something else, Father, I want you to love them. How many would use your faith right now to receive exactly what it said in the King James and the Word of God? Father, how many will mix faith with the Word right now? Because if you sit and think about this too long, you won't accept it. So don't even think about it. Just receive it because it's God's Word. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, I want you to love them with the same love wherewith you have loved me. Do you deserve to be loved on the level of the one who never sinned? No. Amen. Did he ask God to love you like that? But because of grace and mercy extended, because of what he did on the cross? Yes, he did. Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. If you sit here and say, well, I don't feel that. This is not something you feel. This is something you believe. Can you say amen? Amen. And if you don't believe it, you'll never be perfected in love. And fear will always find a way into your heart and mind. Amen. Amen. Because you'll never make the grade to earn that kind of love. If you're still trying to make the grade, you'll never make it. Amen. If you won 10 million souls, you'd never make the grade. The only way he can love you like that is to do what Ephesians said, to accept you in the beloved. Can you say amen? Amen. We're in him and he's in us. It's Christ in us that is the hope of glory. It's us in Christ that means we're the bona fide sons and daughters of the living God. Can you say, man? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things, because everything has changed, hasn't it? Old things have passed away and everything. And that's not just your new walk, but your new position in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Everything has become brand new. Used to sing it at camp meeting. I looked at my hands and they looked new. Looked at my feet and they did too. Can you say amen? The Bible said that now we are the sons of God. That's why chastening is an expression of love. They're under chastening. And Nahum is saying, the Lord is good. He's not doing this because he's bad. He's doing this because he's good. And he's doing this for your good, believe it or not. Amen? There are many churches that don't want a message that rebukes. They don't want reproof. And yet, all scripture that is given by inspiration of God is profitable for reproof and for rebuke and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be fully furnished. If I'm harboring unforgiveness and I haven't dealt with that, and I get in a service or I hear something and the Word of God is being quickened to me and saying, if you don't forgive men, I won't forgive you. I want that. I want that in my life. I don't want somebody just pet me on the head on Sunday while I cut myself off from God. Amen? Amen. I want somebody to challenge me on that issue. Amen. I go to church to be challenged. I remember I went on this, I got up to about 224 pounds and I went on this drastic diet and I got down to 153 pounds. Wow, I went from 224 to 153 and I did it fast and I lost muscle tissue. So then I went in the gym to try to build some muscle back because if you took a greyhound dog and held him up by his front paws, that's what I looked like. I mean, you know, I lost weight. I was skinny, but there was no muscle tissue. So I started going to the gym, you know, and I started pumping iron. And I got in there and started pumping iron. I thought I was doing pretty good. There was a professional bodybuilder in there. And he came over and they called me Preacher Bob. He said, "Preacher Bob," he said, "you can do more than that." And I said, "Why?" I don't want to do any more than this. This is all I can do. But you see, he came over and challenged me. And he threw two more weights on there. And he said, "You can do it. You can do it, Preacher Bob. Come on, I'll spot you." And I thought, boy, that's neat. Amen. Here, this guy is professional. He's going to take time to come over and get this old preacher some help. And he come over and he encouraged me. And sure enough, you know, with the encouragement of him, I got it up and I got it back in the rack. And I thought, wow, that was neat. You know how muscles grow, I found out? They actually tear a little bit. You push them beyond their limit. But if you got good nutrition and rest them in between, they build back. And when they build back to compensate for that little tear, that I don't mean a bad tear, but I mean they've been stretched and they've been challenged, then it builds back and it adds more to compensate. And after a while, amen, the weight kept going up and the weight kept going up and the weight, because they'd come over and they'd spot me and they challenged me. That where's iron sharpens iron? I'm not just talking about pumping iron. I'm talking about when we start deciding in this congregation, we're going to follow Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to serve Him. We're going to bow to no other gods. Amen. We're going to love one another. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. We're not children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We're growing up into Him who is the head. Praise God. Hallelujah. To the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus. And our faith is growing because we're becoming more dependent on Him for everything. Hallelujah. And after a while, and I have to say this without bragging, but after a while, I went up to St. Augustine, and I'm an older guy, and they have a T-shirt. They call it the 300. If you bench press, if you break 300 pounds, you get this T-shirt. And here I am. At that time I was 165 pounds. And I got up there, and they had to have the gym manager come and verify it, and they put the 300 pounds on. And back then, I could warm up with 225. And I got up to 275 and 290. At home, I got up to 290 with my son and my wife spotting me. Amen. Broke little capillaries in my eye. Amen. And because, you know, blood pressure spikes when you got all that weight on you. And please don't ever try this alone. I used to go early in the morning, the gym would open, the guy would come, open it up, and go get coffee. And people would go back there, these big guys. There was a big guy in the back room. I went in the back room, I heard a guy groaning. I went and looked in the back room, there's one of these big gorilla-looking fellas back there. I mean, he looked like King Kong's brother-in-law. Amen. And he's back there, and he's got all this weight across his chest. And the bar has got so much on it, the actual bar itself is bending like that with the weight. And he got down and couldn't get it up because he was doing it by himself. Amen. God did. Listen, even they have a spotter when they do it. You're supposed to have a spotter. You can break your neck. You can choke yourself to death. Amen. So you can try to roll it off of you, but it's too much. You can't move it. And I went back and unloaded those weights and helped him get it back in the rack. And his face was red and his veins were sticking out. And I said, "Man, you scared me." He said, "Man, I was scared myself. Thank you so much." We need each other. If you got a challenge, you need a spotter. So you don't have to just do that by yourself. You got Jesus interceding in heaven. You need to have that imprinted in your mind that I'm not alone in this battle down here. When I fall down, Jesus stands up. Everybody say, "When I fall down, Jesus stands up." Praise God. When they were stoning the first Christian martyr, he said, "I see Jesus standing." He's seated, but when we're down here in need, He stands up. What's He stand up to do? Amen. He stands up to intercede. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. He ever lives. Listen, the Bible said He's able. We're getting about ready to quit, but He's able to save them to the uttermost. That means he's able. Listen, there's no more Satan. It's bringing you through this world with its trouble. It's bringing you through with the weakness of your flesh. It's bringing you through in spite of the desire of your enemy to defeat you. He is able to save them to the fullest extent. Amen. For one reason. Because he ever lives to make intercession. Wow! Hallelujah! He ever lives to make intercession. If you've got victory today, don't attribute it to your faith. Except your faith be in his grace, in his mercy, in his intercession in your behalf. That's what the cross was all about. The cross was about intercession. What's he crying on that cross? To everybody. Not just a few people that loved him back. He said, Father, forgive them, all of them. The whole world, all the people that are laughing at my pain. He's interceding. He's interceding. He's interceding. He's interceding. An advocate with the Father, he's that go-between. Can you say, man, he's always interceding. Praise God, and you're here today because when you fall down, he stands up. Can you say, man, Satan would sift you as the wheat? You listen, part of your armor is the shield of faith. Don't think that your faith in and of itself, in faith, is that shield. You know what David said? The Lord is a shield for me. What? The Lord is a shield. I'd rather have the Lord as my shield than my faith as my shield. If faith is just a force within me. The shield of faith is the Lord. Take his intercession away. You have no shield. If Jimmy was here, I always pick on Jimmy because he's a high-octane trekkie. But Captain Kirk, anytime they're threatened, you know what he would say? Turn on the force fields. They're going to be firing us, but there's this force field you put out around the ship, and all the rockets just hit the force field. They don't hit the ship. Yeah, put up the force field. Praise God. You know what the force field is? It's Jesus. It's his intercession. It's God who is our shield. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. Amen. Don't ever see the shield of faith. We just build our faith to this gigantic level. No, I told you there's no S on any of us. Can you say, man? Let me tell you what Paul said as we close. Letter to 1 Corinthians. I would not have you to be. I'm glad when great Christian leaders with grand anointings and appointings of God are completely honest. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning the trouble we experienced in Asia. How we, Paul and the apostles, were pressed beyond measure. You're human. I'm human. Being anointed doesn't take away your humanity. That's why great preachers fall. They're human. They do need the rest of us. Jimmy Swaggart said, after his fall, he said, I had good men around me, men of God, that I could have confided in and they could have prayed for me and with me. But I didn't go to them because and this is his words. I'm not putting him down. I'm telling you something might help you. I was Jimmy Swaggart. But God designed the preacher as well as the people in the pew to be dependent on him and interdependent on one another. He wouldn't even send them one by one, no matter how highly heavenly anointed. He sent them two by two. And when Paul couldn't find somebody to go with him, he wouldn't go until they sent him somebody. Two are better than one. Because if one falls, he falls alone. And there's nobody to pick him up. Amen. But if he's got a partner, that partner comes alongside and picks him up. Hallelujah. Even our relationship spiritually is based on a partner. I will not leave you comfortless. I will send you another comforter, the paraclete, one who acts in behalf of another, one called alongside to help. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. always dependent and interdependent. Somebody said the strength of the pack is the wolf, and the strength of the wolf is the pack. Can you say, man? Lone wolf has it rough, chasing down and bringing down the caribou. But eight of them working in concert and tandem don't have no trouble bringing him down. They share the spoil. They're going to make it through the harsh, cold winter. Can you say, man? The lone wolf may or may not make it. And by the way, since we're talking wolves, you're not even a wolf. You're a sheep. Can you say, man? Jesus said, I send you forth as sheep among wolves. Don't tell me we don't need some help down here. Can you say, man? Amen? I have never, listen, there may be a lone wolf somewhere out there in the Alaskan outback, but I'm going to tell you what there isn't anywhere on this planet. There's no lone sheep nowhere. Nowhere. Sheep are dependent on each other, and they're dependent on the shepherd. Amen? Amen? The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, the Lord is my shield. Therefore, the shield of faith is my trust that God is standing in my behalf. God is for me. Who can be against me? God keeps His promises. My faith is in God, not in my personal ability. Amen? Apart from God, to just have a force within me. And I create things. Anything I can imagine, I can have. No, I can have anything He wills and purposes. Amen. That keeps me dependent on Him. Amen. I've told you the story, but we've got to close with it. You know, there was a guy on TV, and they know him in Miami because they said when he goes in the bars in Miami, they know what drink he always orders, and they go ahead and mix his drink because he always has the usual. They got him on television because he dumped all the prayer requests into the dumpster and took the checks out and not even prayed over them. He's still on television. His wife left him. She said, I couldn't take it anymore watching him defraud people. Said he was going to go somewhere and pray for over people's needs. And he said she was married to him. They rented a penthouse suite. and just sat up there and he sunbathed and supposed to be going off for a time of prayer, and he just went to this resort and rented a penthouse suite and sunbathed. And it gets so silly out there. Can you say, man? But there is a real, there is a genuine. Amen. There is a genuine. That's why I told the Lord when the doors open for radio, Lord, I don't want to ask for one thin dime. I don't want to ask for a penny. Open the doors so we can do something different than the way it's being done. Because people are suspect of me as a minister. They want to know, what is your real motive? Can you say, man? Honey, I want them to know my motive is to plunder hell and populate heaven. My motive is to see souls in the kingdom of God. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. That's what I'm after. Praise God. I serve a God who's a mighty God. I serve a God, amen, that inhabits the universe. Praise God. This God wants something done. We don't have to market the gospel like we're marketing an automobile or a diamond ring or a house. This is not about real estate. This is about the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Don't preach faith to me and then market the gospel to me. Demonstrate faith. Paul never did it. He did the opposite. No one could accuse him of being covetous of anybody's gold or apparel. He said, you know our behavior. He said, we work with our own hands to provide for our own needs. Moshalaba, does that mean preachers shouldn't be supported? No, but they should be supported by the church. The world shouldn't hear a message, amen, that is so laced with marketing that it turns them off. Can you say, man? They ought to hear about Jesus. They ought to hear the cross. They ought to hear. Somebody comes to church, they ought not hear about the building fund. They ought to hear about Jesus. Can you say, man? Well, how are we going to build the building? Well, maybe we don't need the building. Hillsborough County got a basketball court for your kids for 5 days a week. Do we need one at the church too? Do we really? But we got to get the kids in. Into what? The building? I thought we need to get them to God. I saw a day when they used to fill altars. I remember one of our services, the Holy Church of God, I looked up, wasn't even trying to get them to respond. There's a bunch of little old kids down there bawling and squalling and crying out to Jesus. Holy Ghost got a hold of them in one of those highly anointed services. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the young man that we took care of the funeral for yesterday, amen, in his first God encounter was at our church. He had a lot of church encounters since then. But I'm talking about a God encounter. Got an email from a fellow, had a God encounter at our church. It's a big difference in encountering the church and all of its programs and encountering God. Amen. Amen. Churches don't make lasting impressions on people. If you've ever met the Lord, you never get away from it. If you've ever heard God's truth, it lodges in your heart. Can you say amen? Got a letter from a guy, amen, and the heading of the email was, "The stuff is not worth the sin." Amen. And he said, over 25 years ago, I was in your church and I received the truth. He said, and I've been to every state in the United States. And he said, I've made a whole lot of money. But he said, everywhere I went, the truth followed me. The truth followed me. The truth followed me. And then he said, I've discovered the stuff isn't worth the sin. And because the truth, I know the truth, I'm finding my way back to God. Amen. And he thanked us for preaching the truth. Hallelujah. 25 years, but truth is truth. And the truth set people free in the first century church, and the truth will set people free in the 21st century church. The preaching of the cross saved in the first century church, and the preaching of the cross will save in the 21st century church. Hallelujah! And if we can't bring the truth, then we're tickling people's ears to get them into church, but only truth will set them free. And if they're offended by the truth, they can't get saved when they get there. You can't water down truth and call it salvation when people come forward. Can you say amen? Amen. So I'm thankful for the legacy. We've been in it 37 years, and I'm not the pastor of a mega church, but I'm reaching more people through radio than if we had a building here with 1,500 in it. God has been good to us. And he loves his people. And I want to leave you with this. This is on the serious and prophetic side. When a nation is blessed, here's the profile financially. You will lend to many nations, and you will not borrow. Deuteronomy 28. These blessings will come on you. If you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God to observe and to do, here's the real prosperity message. Can you say amen? It involves repentance. It involves obedience. It doesn't just involve sowing a seed. Amen?
Amen.
Let me tell you something about America while prophets cry peace, peace. These curses shall come upon a nation, he says, if you don't hearken to the voice of the Lord. Amen. To obey it. You shall borrow from many, and you shall not lend. Where is America right now? We're the borrower. We're incredibly in debt to China. China is becoming the dominant economic force. They're industrialized, and many of the products, if not most at Walmart, are shipped here from China. The government of the United States is trillions of dollars in debt to China. We need a revival in this nation. We got people preaching peace when we're in a precarious time. I believe that we're under the corrective, because God loves America. If we're not under the corrective judgment, then what's happening? Why are we the borrower? We're the tail. We're not the head anymore. We've lost that position. And God said, when my blessing's on it, you're the head and not the tail. You're the lender. You're not the borrower. And our preachers are just preaching houses and lands instead of God's true blessing. They're not preaching repentance. And the only thing that will solve this is national repentance. Personal repentance and national. And it doesn't begin with the world. It begins with the church. Judgment doesn't start with the world. Judgment begins at the house of God. The house of God. The house of God. The house of God. And if it begins at the house of God, then God wants to do something for His people. Amen. He wants to restore what the enemy has stolen. I'm convinced. I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic because I believe that God is going to raise up people with a heart for His truth, a heart for repentance, that are not afraid of repentance. And I believe they're going to start seeking truth. One of these days, they're going to go to church for the right reason. And that is to hear a word from the Lord. Not what we want to hear, but what God has to say. Can you say amen? And when they do, they're going to have to get some old prophets that are down in dungeons. Haul them out and hose them off. Can you say amen? And listen to what the Spirit says to the church. Because if the Holy Ghost says something to the church, it's going to rebuke what is wrong. It's going to reprove what needs fixing. Amen. But it's going to fully furnish us for every good work. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. All this fire is going to do is burn out the dross and bring forth a people that God can trust with a mighty Holy Ghost revival in these last days. I feel an anointing for souls, Brother Taylor. Amen. Listen, I don't have a message for the Christians who want to play church on Sunday morning. Amen. I want to be about my Father's business. Can you say amen? I don't want to referee no church fights. Thank God we ain't got no church fights here, but I don't want to be a referee for people who can't get along with one another. Amen. Are you listening to me? I don't want no Jezebel in my pulpit. Can you say amen? Teaching people to compromise and sin, bringing God's judgment on them while promising prosperity. I want to see God's sheep, hallelujah, following the chief shepherd, hallelujah, kept by the power of God, hallelujah, healed, delivered, and set free. Amen. I want to see some heads, people that are in leadership, people that are the vanguard, people that can show forth of God's hands on me. Hallelujah, in my household. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not the tail. Praise God. Amen. Pray for America. Pray for leadership. Pray for the political parties. Pray for the president. Whether you like him or not, that's not an issue. Amen? God got on to me. There's a lot of preachers that I don't particularly care for. He said, are you praying for them? I said, of course not. I don't like them. He said, well, just that's not going to change them. You're just not liking them because they're in error. Pray for them. And I found out when I started praying for them, I still don't agree with what they're teaching that's wrong, but I love them. And I'm praying God will wake them up. I'm glad that God got a hold of Saul of Tarsus. I'm glad He turned him around. Praise God. Amen. I'm glad. There are preachers that are full of pride, and they're deceptive, and they're like Judas. They were from day one. They were never true blue. But there's some out there that I believe are honestly deceived. Amen. And for them, I believe there's hope that they're going to turn around. In fact, I won't go into detail, but time won't allow, and I don't know if I should, but there are some preachers that are changing their message right now. Amen. It's becoming different than it was a year ago because God is speaking so clearly. Amen. The trumpet is being blown in Zion. Praise God. Amen. There are people changing their message. Why are they doing that? Because they're starting to really hear from God and take the responsibility to tell the truth on Sunday morning. Amen. I was so happy the other day to hear of a vertical conference. You know why they called it a vertical conference? And it was led by a Pentecostal church with the former president of Moody Bible Institute, which is non-Pentecostal. But the concern was so powerful. They said, we're going to put aside some of the minor things to deal together with the major things. And their concern, they were asking preachers to come from all over America. Their concern was that horizontally, that people are being influenced by the culture and what is the popular movements in the church by what they preach on Sunday. And while they called it a vertical conference, they said, listen, every preacher that stands beside the sacred desk should not be influenced by what other preachers are doing, what the congregation wants. I appreciate your approval, but I don't need it to preach. Can you say amen? I appreciate your applause, but whether I get it or not, it has nothing to do with what I'm going to preach. Can you say amen? I would like you to love me, but whether you love me or not, it's not going to influence what I preach on Sunday. I'm not preaching to get you to love me. I'm preaching, amen, to keep you from sin and keep you from deception. And I'm preaching to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I'm preaching to be able to say to him, I'm pure from the blood of all men because I've not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Can you say amen? Brother Bimble, I don't like the way you preach. Hey, I'm in good company then because they didn't like the way Jesus preached either. At one time, everybody left him but 12. He would be considered a failure by many ministries today. And he asked him, are you going to leave me too? At least they had enough sense to say this. Where could we go? You've got the words of eternal life. Can you say amen? I don't want to miss this. This is too important to miss or to mess with. I feel such an anointing for souls. I felt it yesterday, Kim. I felt it in that room. I felt it in that building. Praise God. I expect funerals. Amen. The funeral, it wasn't the last one. It's your mama's funeral. Amen. I've never seen it happen. God is preparing hearts for the harvest. God is preparing hearts for the harvest. As we close this morning, God is preparing hearts for the harvest. Amen. In the middle of the funeral, without making any kind of call at all, in the middle of just the funeral itself, 6 people stood up. 5 said, is it out of order? But I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. And then 5 more stood up and 5 rededicated to the Lord. And 1 lady said, I want to be saved. And we prayed for her right down in front of your mama's casket. Amen. We prayed for her to receive Jesus Christ as her Savior. Can you say amen? All the church is so beautiful. The programs are so wonderful. Everything goes off so beautiful. But when the power of God comes, people become convicted of sin. And the church is not just this playhouse anymore for pomp and ceremony. You've seen the choir. You aren't moved by it. It hasn't changed you a bit. You sit there and you watch it. You enjoy it. You're entertained by it. But you're not challenged. And you're not changed. And the worst thing about it is we're satisfied with that. Entertain us. Tickle our ears. Make us feel good. Make it convenient to follow Christ. Tell me what God is going to do for me this week. Tell me who I am. Don't spend all that time telling me who He is and how He should be revered and honored and worshiped and served and obeyed. Tell me how great I am. Honey, without Him, we're hopelessly lost and damned. And apart from Him, we can do nothing. But thank God He's good. And He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. And He knows them, cherishes them, and trusts in Him. The hour's late. The door of grace one day will slam as we know it, just like it did on Noah's ark. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man shall work. That's why we're on radio. That's why God sends our message to China and South Korea. Because those Christians are under the gun, and they need to hear about a Jesus that's worth sacrificing for, and a faith that's worth dying for. And I'm going to tell you this today. I told you last week, if you keep up with the Voice of the Martyrs, you see the Christians all over the world that are being persecuted and killed for their faith. And here's the challenge as we stop today. If they love Him enough to die for Him, we at least should love Him enough to live for Him. Is that all right with you? Amen. If they're willing to lay down their life for Him, shouldn't we be willing to live for Him? There are people in churches this morning that are not challenging them. They like it, but they're unchanged. They haven't repented of their sins. They haven't committed to follow Jesus. They just want to hear that consoling, soothing salve of a message. They're in church, but they're not in Christ. They're in church, but they're not followers of Jesus. Their sins still cleave to them like leprosy on Naaman. And they don't want to be around a message that challenges them in that area because they're convicted it's uncomfortable. Amen? So go where they're comfortable. Go where you're comfortable. Follow those that will never upset you, where you won't be bothered, that God won't bother you. The love of many has waxed cold. The love of the truth, what did the apostle say? Truth has fallen in the street. And what? No one lays it to heart. Doesn't matter. It does matter. We're under corrective judgment. What would happen if gas goes to $5 a gallon to the economy in America? We're so secure in our government and our resources, our military. We're so secure. So secure. Let me tell you something, Christian. When that guy on Sunday morning pulls up to that gas pump with an ice chest full of beer, he's going to blaspheme God. He's just going to go out and spend his day doing whatever he loves best. And he ain't going to give God time of day. When you pull in behind him at that gas pump, you're going to pay the same thing he does. This thing's going to affect. Come on, this peace when there is no peace is not going to keep working for America. We need God's true blessing back. Amen. And we're not going to get it by nonchalant Christianity that sits in the pew just happy to hear someone sab them on Sunday morning. We'll only get it when the church repents. And you know something? If God doesn't raise up young people, I don't know how we're going to achieve it. Because most adults that should be setting the standard are happy where they are. Happy where they are. And it ain't the devil and the world that holds back revival. It's Christians who are satisfied short of where God wants to take them. I call them concrete Christians. Thoroughly mixed, permanently set. There's no moving them. No moving them. No moving them. You never see the adults in the altar. That's kid stuff. Kids ought to go to the altar. I got all the God I want. All the God I need. I don't think we do. I don't believe it. I believe it's holding back revival. And that's why he chose this church to be different. And that's why I'm still here. As lean as it is, he's still sending his word. Will you stand your feet today? I'm going to give you a word of strong encouragement. Heard Joni Erickson the other day, and she's working in tandem with another lady, and they're resurrecting the old hymns. You sent me a book for Christmas. Tell Dale how much that means to me. There's a man and his wife, and they are writing songs in the tone of the old hymns. Some of the old hymns from the 1800s contain something that has been lost today, and people are rediscovering it, and it's correct theology. God is mighty in those hymns. God is to be revered in those hymns. God is to be worshiped and feared and adored and loved in those hymns. He's a lofty God in those hymns. Not these cute little pop songs that we call Christian today. Hip-shaking girls and spandex pants guys using the name of Jesus. And it's all to reach young people. I thank God for the preacher that got up and walked out of a concert when they came out and dressed in a way that is sexually provocative while singing a so-called Christian song. We're reaching the youth. No, we're not. We're watering down the gospel to where it doesn't have the power to convict or save. We're taking holy things and using them for commercial value. And we count the heads instead of the hearts that are committed to Christ. And a head count won't cut it. You need to know Jesus. I thank God for the movement back. There's a movement back. There's a movement back. There's a movement back. Because this phony stuff is going to fall. And the Christians going to church to be interchanged, never challenged or changed. You're holding back revival. You are holding back revival. We should be the example to the youth, not waiting on God to get a hold of them. We should be the example of commitment and reverence. And we should be in a process of being changed more into His image. Can you say amen? And we should be convicted on occasion. We're not above it. There's no S on you or me. And we should be committed to one another, to love one another, and stand together. I appreciate seeing you praying this morning. My heart was lifted. I didn't get to pray with you because I got here after my dad and the funeral and all the things I'm having to deal with. But when I got here and saw people praying, my heart just came up. And I said, that is power in a church. Can you say, man, that's power in a church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I am interceding for you, saith the Lord, and I want you to intercede for one another and for others. For your prayers, when you pray in unity, your prayers, when you are in concert, your prayers, when you are in agreement, are mighty. They are mighty. They are mighty, saith God.
All across this nation, I believe there are people praying in intercession for this nation, for kings and those that are in authority, for the peace of Jerusalem, praying for one another and praying for revival in America. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. This church obviously is not for everybody. Can you say amen? We're not trying to please somebody this morning. We're here to please God. Come on, church. Amen. If we can't build it on God's truth, I don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. I got better things to do. Can you say amen? If you're in a church that's playing church, I'm amazed at how many people, amen, play church. Amen. Listen to me. If you're in a church, I'm making this for somebody listening. If you're in a church that is playing church, and if you want to get real with God, you're going to have to get away from all of that mess.
Amen, brother.
If you're there to be seen and heard, you need to get out of it.
Amen.
If you're there to promote yourself, your ministry, and your gifts, you need to run from it. Because you're going to lose your own spiritual strength. Because you're never challenged. And you're never changed. Praise God. But God has called us to something entirely different here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to do this if you would. We're going to play a song at the end of it. I'm going to ask you to reach across that aisle and join hands. Amen. I want this to be a beacon for Jesus Christ. I want to be in such unity here. Amen. That when people come through that door, I'd rather have a few of us in unity than a bunch of us that are not committed. Praise God. That when people come through, they're going to sense the power of God. We're going to pray and then we're just going to worship for just a couple of seconds. Amen. How many people want to see this church become a soul-saving mecca, a soul-saving center for Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. I believe God's getting that community ready. How do you know? Because He's getting me ready. Amen. He's either going to send them in or He's going to send me out or I'm going to bust. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I live and breathe to see people come to know Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I have no message, amen, for lukewarm Christians, but to repent. Do you hear me this morning? I don't have any salve to rub on people that just want to play games until Jesus comes. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm called to be about my Father's business. We've been saved long enough. Hallelujah. To be supportive to ministry, supportive to one another. And an example to others. Hallelujah. I'm like you, Brother Taylor. I don't want to grow old. I just grow old. I want to grow up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Change is coming. Hallelujah. Because it's anointing for souls. I feel it from my head to my feet. There's probably nobody in this room that needs to be saved today. And that's why it's backing up in me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, either send them in or send me to them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Send your word. Send your word. Send your word. Send your word. And heal them and deliver them from their destructions. Father, we praise you. We praise you. Break this thing loose. Break this thing loose, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We call upon you. Show us great and mighty things that we know not. Show us your glory. Show us those fields. Show us how to reap that harvest, oh God. Father, we praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Hallelujah. 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 Make this a redwood forest. Hallelujah. Mikola, growing strong, growing tall, dependent on you and interdependent on one another. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Bring back a sense of commitment. Bring back a sense of holy responsibility. Let us conduct your work, Lord, in a way that's worthy of your blessing.
Hallelujah. 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 How many will commit, amen, to this ministry and to one another this coming year? How many willing to make a commitment? This is worth you making a commitment to. You understand our vision. You understand we have a heart of love, but you understand we will be challenged on Sunday. Can you say amen? How many want to be challenged on Sunday? How